Tim, it is year end. I don't know how we got here, but if there is a year everyone is just absolutely ready to put behind us, it would be 2020. We don't need to get into those obvious reasons why, but despite all the just challenges and heartache and everything that's been going on this year, there has been some incredible podcasts. So this is always a fun episode for you and I to get together to do. Before we dig into our nominees and our actual proclamation of our respective best podcasts of 2020, any sort of opening statement on just the year or podcasts in general, my friend?
Yeah, I think, you know, and we've done this every year, kind of put a disclaimer on what the show's about and the rationale behind our picks, right? There's always the heavy hitters. There's the Joe Rogans and the Adam Carollas and the Bill Burrs and, you know, the Pod Save Americas. There's the heavy hitters. That's not what we're trying to do in the show, right? If I'm speaking for the dude and the bro, Mike.
Yeah, absolutely. And while we may nominate a show that is a heavy hitter in its own right, we're talking about it because it's new to the world this year. So we're not looking to sort of nominate the already established high profile stuff. And I'm so glad you said that, Tim, because I forgot to sort of put that out there. But you're absolutely right.
So right. So the our best of 2020 is more 2020 centric, either, you know, the podcast broke out this year or something that happened this year or maybe it started this year. That's what, you know, the rationale behind the pick. So I just wanted to kind of get that out there for the listeners.
Well said, my friend. So, dude, I think without further ado, we're each going to talk about four podcasts respectively. We haven't discussed what we're going to throw out. So I would say as we roll along, if one of us calls out one that's in the other's list, let's just identify that and then we'll do the code discussion as we go along. You any thoughts about that format?
Yeah, man. I like how I don't know your picks, man. Like, yes. Now it's got a little bit of nervousness going on here.
The nerves are flowing in all a positive and fun way. So, dude, I'm going to give you the floor first, man. Kick things off for our podcast of 2020.
So, I don't know if you can get more synonymous of 2020 than the following podcast here, Michael. I think this embodies, exemplifies, if you will, 2020. And that podcast is, it's taken me right back to the end of March, full pandemic, lockdown status. And that would be Wondery's Tiger King.
Oh my gosh, dude. But real quick, I'm gonna give you the floor entirely. That almost seems like another world ago, Tim, when you say all that. So please do take it away.
Right. So, I think when we did Tiger King when it came out, and Tiger King, for those that have been living under a rock or in a vault hiding from the coronavirus, it broke out, was a Netflix documentary, and is about a guy, Joe Exotic, who had a wildcat sanctuary. Kentucky or Nebraska or something like that?
Somewhere in the deep mid-south or something. Yeah, something like that, yeah.
And, you know, he's got all these tigers on his property. He has, like, a zoo. And it's kind of almost like an unsanctioned, like, unlicensed zoo with a bunch of yahoos, like, feeding tigers and lions and mountain lions and... people are getting bit, and it's just, you know, craziness ensues. And we'll just say Joe Exotic's now serving jail time. But, it took over, you know, the country by storm because everyone was, you know, locked down in their house, and now they're binge watching this crazy Netflix show. But at the same time, Wondery, maybe like a couple weeks later, puts out the podcast series. And it does have a different angle. There's a different investigative reporter that's actually spent time with Joe Exotic. So you do kind of get maybe a different angle. You get the podcast angle. So it was a great supplemental podcast to viral Netflix sensation that it was. So I enjoyed watching the show with my wife, and I thoroughly enjoyed listening to the podcast. So Tiger King is number four for me, man.
Yeah, and dude, was there any perfect sort of content to be out there at the time when people had to start sheltering at home. It was just absolute the perfect show, the perfect escapism at the perfect time when a pandemic was just starting to rage and people just wanted to just bury their heads in just total trash nonsense TV, and that was it.
Right, and then you had Carol Baskins, who was like his arch nemesis, who had another cat sanctuary in Florida or something, and like she was almost equally as unlikable. So you had two people extremely unlikable that you could say, oh man, my life ain't as bad, or I'm not, definitely not as bad as those people. I feel way better about myself. I feel way better that I stocked up my fridge for 3 weeks and I'm out of toilet paper. Thank you very much.
And dude, by the way, no one is in the Carol Baskin camp, right?
I haven't heard if they are. Wasn't she on Dancing with the Stars?
But maybe? I mean, like, no one backs or supports her emotionally versus Joe Exotic, right? She was the worst. She's awful.
Yeah, oh, she, if not worse. I think I like Joe. I was rooting for Joe over Carol for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, good. Dude, you kicked this off in great style here. So I'm going to go to one we actually did recently, Tim, and this is Q Clearance, The Hunt for QAnon. This is through iHeartRadio. This is a British indie journalist and documentarian filmmaker, Jake Hanrahan, on a journalistic mission to unmask who is behind the Q drops fueling this entire QAnon conspiracy. And the reasons I'm putting this in as a nominee is, first off, I think it was well done. It was captivating. It's very timely. The QAnon conspiracy community is just raging right now. And for me, it was very informative. I got to really learn what that movement is all about when prior I just had heard some things in drips and drabs. So I think it's an important mission they're on to try and unmask, demystify who is behind this QAnon conspiracy movement. And I think them and the approach they took to not belittle the followers of the people who get swept up on this, to kind of remove the politics and stay true to a journalistic approach of following the facts and the leads. Certainly, you know, not shying away from calling out BS or dismissing what is just like conspiracy nonsense, but never at the expense of the people is what my point is. And I think that's how we can try and best get through these things, is try and be mindful of people and dismiss ideas and concepts, but not so much people. So I thought it was entertaining and well done. Did you add a quick comment before I volley it back to you, Tim?
No, I'm glad you brought this one up, because this almost made my list, because again, another synonymous aspect of 2020 was the QAnon conspiracy. But you know, just on a standalone, the podcast holds up on its own. I thought it was a great investigative piece, and the guy really tried to uncover, you know, look under every rock, and you know, this is something, you know, the guy's trying to be anonymous and he's, you know, finding names and people behind, you know, 8chan, and he's getting like, you know, real interviews with people in the mix. So I don't think any other podcast gets you that kind of access.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said, man. So for me, my first nominee, Q Clearance, The Hunt for QAnon. Tim, back over to you. What's up next for you, bro?
All right, so number three for me, and I haven't brought this podcast up on the show, Mike. I've been kind of listening to it behind the scenes, and I haven't until this moment related to our listeners, and that podcast is Forever Has Fallen. And the reason why I nominate this one for Best of 2020 is because it shows, this podcast shows the evolution of what podcasts can do. This is the first that, to my knowledge, I could be wrong, as an interactive podcast. And what I mean by that, so I'll just set up the premise. Forever Has Fallen is like an audio drama. It's fictional, you know, voice acted, and it surrounds a tech billionaire, and it's a fictional like social media platform. And I forget what it's called. It's like a Mark Zuckerberg, Twitter Jack figure, who whose company gets hacked or something, and the stock drops, and he has to, he's under arrest. Vice president gets murdered in the corporate headquarters, and he realizes he's being set up. So he grabs all the information, all the money, like he get a go bag, and he goes underground, and you know, the authorities are looking for him. And this, it's, imagine like if Mark Zuckerberg committed a crime, Facebook goes out of business, and Mark Zuckerberg goes missing. That's the premise of the show.
That's awesome.
And the reason why, so what they do, they put clues in the podcast, like a phone number or a web address. And there's a website you can go to, and you can actually go and try to search. You could play along with the podcast. You go to the website, Forever Has Fallen, and you can actually hunt for the guy that's missing and use the clues that you heard in the podcast to play the game online. So each week, you know, as the story goes along, you get more clues, and then you go onto the website and you play along with the story.
That's incredible, man. I know there was a true crime podcast, Solve, that kind of allows you to play along as the detective, but I only think that's just through audio and listening and can you figure out. I don't think there's any interactive digital element like you're describing. That's fascinating.
Right. So yeah, you can go. So I did hear Sav. So, but yeah, this one you can you interact with the show. Right now they're like on a holiday hiatus, but they're about 6 or 7 episodes in, and it's a fascinating story, and you can play along with it. So I thought that was interesting and worthy enough to nominate for Best of 2020, man.
Dude, and give the show title again, please.
It is Forever Has Fallen.
Awesome, man. Great stuff. So, dude, I'm going to go to an entire other spectrum of show that we have not discussed as of yet. And I'm going to talk about BFFs as my next nomination. And this is a Barstool Sports offering. This is Dave Portnoy, who is the founder of Barstool Sports, quite the polarizing figure in media. And then his co-host is Josh Richards, a TikTok influencer. And Tim, this is just a total sugar rush of content. It is for fun. This is not for anyone to take anything serious. This sort of highlights and captures all the drama going on in the world of new media and influencers like TikTok. And it is, to me, it's just bonkers, and it's fun. And the way I talked about this when you and I did a review of this show is that Dave Portnoy, a Gen X dude like us, is giving us cover and sort of a pass to have interest in the world of these teenage and early 20 something influencers and all the craziness and drama and money and businesses and investments and infighting and all of this just chaos that swirls around this world that I would have absolutely no clue of otherwise if it wasn't for Dave. And you rightly put it, being the Barnum and Bailey ringleader through this platform of BFFs. And again, man, this isn't a serious show. This is total escapism and fun. And a comment from you on BFFs.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Dave Portnoy. I really just kind of discovered him this year. And, you know, I can't get enough of Portnoy now and Barstool. So, I definitely enjoyed this podcast. And what I appreciate, I think the service that Dave Portnoy is providing to our society is just, he gives like all the craziness that's going on, especially like TikTok and the social media influencer world, is something that's just so foreign to me. And he's able to kind of put that lens of just like a blue collar sports, like in cheesesteak, pizza eating dudes perspective on it. And that's what I can it really just makes me, gives clarity to all the craziness in the world through his eyes, man.
Yeah, and real quick, recently there's been some online beef, which I would never want to be, if I don't want to be an online beef with anyone ever, but especially not with Dave Portnoy. And one of Josh Richards, I think it's a housemate, his buddy, and I want to say his name's Bryce, one of the Bryce bros that he's friends with. But anyway, that dude in Portnoy, I can't tell. It seems to be real beef. Now, you got to be, look, are these guys just drumming this up to get the podcast going? It doesn't feel like that to me because the dude is like getting at Dave's age and like has been stuff, and there's some real back and forth. So, I mean, there's interesting stuff if you just want sort of like a reality TV escapism going on. And if that kind of stuff is real, like it has the potential to be like an online powder keg.
I mean, I could be really wrong and I could be a huge sucker, which I wouldn't put it past me, but. Dave Portnoy doesn't strike me as the type of dude that would do like fictional drama, fake beef, man, for like a reality situation. He doesn't strike me as that dude.
Well, and to your point, I think that's a great point. I think as, you know, quote unquote crazy and out there as Dave is, the guy is clearly brilliant. And the one thing that he always talks about is, you know, he and his brand are out there and transparent for the world to see. What you see is what you get. And if you don't like it, beat it. He doesn't care. But I'm with you. I don't think he would jeopardize that by having some WWE style beef going with a kid. I think it would have to be real or he's not involved in it. But like you, I could be a sucker as well. Who knows? So, Tim, that's it for BFS. From Dave Portnoy, Josh Richards, Barstool Sports, my number three nominee. Over to you, sir.
All right, number two for me. And this is a show that I have mentioned on the podcast previously, and that is The Grey Rooms. So The Grey Rooms is another audio fiction drama podcast. And I'll just kind of, it's like an anthology show. So there's like a premise, and then each episode, almost like The Twilight Zone or like Tales from the Crypt, is like its own unique story, horror thriller. So the premise is there's this place, Grey Rooms. You don't know, maybe it's like purgatory. You're not sure. You know, you go there after you die and it's not very pleasant. And you have to, there's these, you know, supernatural beings in the Grey Rooms that tell you that you must pick a room, and depending on the room you pick, depending is the story, and you experience the story as like this lost soul going through purgatory. It's grown from, you know, like a 6-7 episode series. Now we're in season 3 and they're putting out shows each week. They have, you know, really top-notch voice actors from like the podcast voice acting community. And what I really appreciate about The Grey Rooms, Mike, is they take, you know, like amateur writers nominations. So you can submit like your story, your horror story, to The Grey Rooms and they can make an episode out of it. So it really gets, you know, the community involved. But now we're in season 3 and The Grey Rooms has evolved to this like Victorian mansion where there's all, you know, it's very elaborate and luxurious, but when you go into a room, there's a horror story that waits. So the show has really grown and progressed and is really like the quality and production and the storytelling has really evolved to a top level. So if you're into kind of the fictional horror drama, The Grey Rooms is a must listen.
And dude, I love that model of sort of community-generated writing and involvement. To me, that is the best of what the internet and podcasts can offer. And there's no sort of suffering in the quality of the art because of that. If anything, it's enhanced because people are getting a shot that might not have got a shot otherwise that are brilliant and creative. So that's awesome. And the concept of the show with the rooms and picking like all of that is just too cool. I remember you bringing that up previously. So well done in your part, man. Dude, by the way, I need to hit pause and just say, thank God for you and your taste, and you bring the credibility that I'm like a mainstream sap when it comes to podcasts. I'm like, you know, swimming in the sort of the iTunes news and noteworthy, but you keep it real and get down into just the indies. Like, so like, I got to give you props on the fly here, Tim.
I mean, I appreciate that, you know, probably don't deserve all that praise, but I will say, like, I'll look at the top podcasts and, you know, some are pretty good and, you know, there's a lot of great podcasts, but, you know, I'll listen to one and I'm not into it. But when I find one, man, gets its meats hooks into me, man. So
I love it. Well, you keep the if we have any credibility, it's all coming from you, Tim.
There you
so
go.
I want to give you the props in that. So moving on to my number two, dude, I had a hard time not making this my favorite and number one podcast of the year. And I'm talking about Unlocking Us with Brené Brown. I know I've spoken about that before. If anyone's not familiar with Brené Brown, she is a research PhD. Her work centers around shame and vulnerability, growth leadership, daring leadership. She is just an absolute treasure for humanity. And for her to have come into the world of podcasting right when the pandemic was hitting, when social political unrest was hitting, talk about, you know, the world needing a voice like her in the format of podcasting. And her big sort of moment was a TED talk she did on shame and vulnerability that just exploded and put her trajectory as sort of a persona beyond just doing her work and research into another category of now having a massive and rabid community and access to people. And, you know, she meets with major enterprise corporations and, you know, executive leader. I mean, she is the real thing. And to have access to her work in the format of a podcast has just been incredible. And she keeps it so real, man. Like, yeah, she's clearly a progressive individual, but you can't pin her to anything or pin anything to her. And she is, her work is for everyone. And she doesn't ever exclude or judge or have to, like, she literally is for humanity. That's her people, like, really, the humans of the world. And I can't rave enough about her. And you know, I just think she's great, and I love her work. So for her to have put out a podcast, she's done two seasons. She's been hard at work at it all within this year. The debut, I think, was around like March. She had her second season come out, which is ongoing right now, and she's crushing it. So that's Unlocking Us with Brené Brown. Tim, you may not even be that familiar with her or her work, so you may not have any commentary to add, but just any thoughts on what I've been saying, if not?
Well, so I just added this podcast to my queue because you speaking so highly of it, it's definitely something that I'm now interested in. But the question that I would have for you, like, does she just, is her show, like, each episode a different topic, or is it just like kind of stream of conscious each episode?
Great question. So there is some stream of conscious stuff. There's about 2 to 3 of just her giving her thoughts, and those are always incredible, man. And she has one, and she actually just did an update to it as well. FFTs, bleeping first times, the, you know, F word first times. And it talks about just the stress and the challenges of anyone doing anything for the first time. And sometimes you're even embroiled or involved in something that's a first time and you're not even aware of it, which that may sound too vague, but when you hear her actually talk about it, I promise you, you'll say, oh, well, I've related that here and there. So she has those sort of stream of conscious things, but then she brings on credentialed experts and talks about, you know, what their wheelhouse is. And dude, I would suggest to you, there's an episode on grief, grieving and loss. And regardless of what you have going on in the world, whatever your thoughts or idea, I mean, who can't relate to a situation with having lost someone and dealing with grief? And I found it so impactful and powerful. And if there's just one episode for you to check out, it would be her speaking to this guy that's made grief sort of his calling. And dude, not to give away the lead, but the individual who was the grief expert, while they are already years into being established as a grief expert, their son died. So it's like the expert having to, can I live up to now what I've been teaching and espousing for all these years? So you want to talk about just like just a powerful piece of content. That's it, man. So for me, really hard not to name it number one. When I get to my number one, we'll talk about why, and I'm sure some people out there will throw tomatoes at me. But having Unlocking Us with Brene Brown as number two is no slight at all. It's just been an incredible show.
Cool, man.
So I will volley that back over to you, bro. What do you got? What's next up? Oh, wait, are we at your best of? Is this the number one?
This is number one, Broseph.
All right, so, dude, I'd get a drum roll going, but we don't have that kind of fancy production. So lay it on us, man. This is, Tim, your best podcast nominee proclamation. This is the one of 2020. What do you got?
So, yeah, this one debuted in 2020. And that would be the Megyn Kelly Show.
Dude.
Look at that.
I'm with you.
Oh, wow.
Your center left bud, Mike, over here. That's all right. But this, you first, and then we'll get into it. Go right ahead.
And it's not, so, you know, I became a huge fan. Like, I knew of Megyn Kelly. Like, I didn't watch Fox News. And, you know, the reason I knew her was the Trump debates, how she got into with Trump. So I didn't know really much about her. But the show, she certainly, you know, leans right. And she comes at it from that perspective. And, you know, I listen to a lot of pop political shows, but she just has so many interesting guests from both sides. I mean, she had Bernie Sanders' campaign manager on one episode, and the interviews are fair. There's like no shouting, or there's no, you know, I just think she does a great job. And it's not because I never got a chance to thank Megyn Kelly. You know, she retweeted the Dude and the Bro. She gave us a shout out, and that was very nice of her. I just think she's a genuine person, man. And I heard an interview with her with Adam Carolla, and she had like some pretty big time tragedy growing up. Like, you know, her father died when she was like a pre-teenager, and you know, she's been through it. So I just appreciate her take and her viewpoint. I think it's fair. I mean, I think she's the professional when it comes to broadcasting. I'm just a huge fan, and I really, you know, the show now, like every new, you know, she probably does three shows a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And when I wake up in the morning, you know, when I'm getting ready, that's the one that I download first and get my news from almost, you know, immediately.
Yeah, dude. So my notes that I jotted down on why I had to go with the Megyn Kelly Show is, first off, I don't really agree with much of what she says. I often might find a perspective or a moment where there's sort of like a sensible common ground, but a lot of her stuff I don't agree with. And there's even times where I kind of frankly get annoyed, where I feel like she's almost overcompensating to a right-leaning stance just to counteract something someone's saying, it almost like the what about syndrome, and that stuff gets to me a little bit. But first off, this show, her going independent and doing this, it was a big win for the medium of podcasts. I mean, she was as high profile as a corporate, national anchor, you know, voice within news. So for her to have her own thing on podcasting, it's a real big win for the medium of podcasting. I so appreciate, like you said, that she's created a platform that is an open forum, welcoming a diversity of opinions and a healthy way to model disagreements. She's had some pretty strong disagreements on the show with the likes of Mark Cuban, recently with Sam Harris. They were going back and forth about Trump. And I love that there's a platform where people can disagree in a long-form conversation without a commercial break, without a producer looking to cut them off. They can just have at it and model that kind of healthy conversation. And I think that's so important, because that is so lacking. Cable news is just a wasteland. cable news is total joke. I watch it quite a bit, I admit. Like, I do. But I feel yucky often when I watch it. And even when I'm not agreeing with the points on the Megyn Kelly show or a perspective, I am so appreciative that I'm hearing a diversity of opinion that is not seemingly agenda driven by a corporate conglomerate hanging over top of them and sort of, you know, pigeonholing talking points into what the content is. And I think everything we just detailed is so important right now. It's so critical. And I need to get myself out of my left-leaning echo chamber. I'm a center-left dude. I dwell too often in my own area of wanting to have things validated, and that's not healthy. And I have consistently gone back to the Megyn Kelly show. I enjoy jogging on my treadmill while listening to it. And there's quite a bit of times in the past 3 years, Tim, of us doing the show where I'll give a show a great review, and it's genuine. I would never give a positive review to be disingenuous, but then I'm not necessarily compelled to keep tuning back into it. This has stayed in my feed, like I said, I thought it would when we first reviewed her show, and I keep going back to it. And dude, she's cranking out the shows like you said, and the quality of guests are so high profile and so varying. I think it's a brilliant show, man.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's really much more to say about it, man. I like you said, there's a ton of shows where I enjoyed it. I enjoyed listening to it. I enjoyed giving the review. But maybe, you know, there's just certain shows that that are just go-to that I want, you know, that I can't wait to get. And those are few and far between. And this one's up there. So,
dude, let me ask you a quick question. I'm going to kind of steer this in a different way. Joe Rogan initially was that platform for me as well. I feel like that element, though, is kind of like lacking a little bit right now, and that may be unfair to me. Maybe I'm just so used to Joe that I'm almost not giving him credit for continuing to do great things, and I want to be honest about that. Could be coloring me a little bit, but I feel like that has waned a little bit. And Joe, I don't know, almost some of his, he seems to just become like, I'm Texas dude, forget, like he seems almost to become like a caricature of himself a little bit. Am I off on that, or are you sensing that a little bit, or what do you think, man?
I know I pick and choose my battles based on the guests with Joe Rogan, and some guests that don't interest me, you know, maybe I'll just go in and listen, and it's one of the most fascinating shows. And you know, some of the guests that I really anticipate, I'm not into. His show's so long that I can't just consume them every day that they come out. So honestly, I haven't been tuning in recently to him to get that take. But I kind of see where he was going down that road. So I think I understand what you're saying here.
Yeah, and I want to be careful. I'm not like the Metallica fan in 1991 and the Black Album comes out, and now I'm just going to like, you know, dump on the band and just, you know, not be into them and pick at him. And I want to be careful that I'm not doing that with Joe, because he's, to me, is still like the absolute preeminent podcaster. But why I'm even bringing this up is, to me, what I sought from Joe, like, I feel like I'm getting tenfold from Megyn Kelly, and it's a little more focused, and it's a more condensed version, and like, I can get in, consume the episodes, and it's just her. By the way, whoever's like booking the show, I think is programming it brilliantly, because it hasn't gotten into a rut of like a certain same thing. Clearly, a lot of the same topics come up just based on what the world is dealing with right now, but it's different people and different takes. And I don't know, I just like gotta give credit to the Megyn Kelly show for doing that in such a stark way for me.
Yeah, I think there's a couple lessons for like Joe. Like, if Joe Rogan puts out a 3-hour podcast every day, and the one guy is an astrophysicist and the other guy climbed Mount Kilimanjaro, there's just so all over the map, like, that it's hard to like be like, oh, I was, you know, hoping for something else and I didn't get that. But yeah, you know, so far, I mean, I don't know if she's ever going to run out of guests, but yeah, I mean, they're so just like from way different angles. Like yeah, there's no predictability to it. It's fascinating.
I don't know if you heard the dude, and shame on me for getting his name, but he was, I want to say he was in the ESPN ecosystem, but he was like a high profile sports guy. And now he has his own platform, and he used to be a Democrat, but now he considers himself more along the ideology. And I'm forgetting his name, shame on me. But that was like a conversation. I don't know where I'd ever hear it like that. And I didn't agree with everything they were all saying, but it was such a good discussion and interview. Like, and I'm just like, man, like, this is the stuff that's going to keep me returning back to her platform, because they just book fascinating people.
Yeah, and when she had Sam Harris, that was a great. I was like so stoked on that one.
Dude, and again, Sam Harris is another guy I don't necessarily agree with everyone, but my God, is he a brilliant thinker. And to have him and Megan going tit for tat on, they weren't agreeing on everything, it was awesome.
And the reason that she had Sam Harris on was the she got feedback from the listener. She asked, she put it out there, like, who do you want to hear? Like, you know, what guests do you want? And, you know, she had the humility to listen to her audience, and he was the number one person that was suggested by her audience to have on the show. So it's not just like, oh, I'm Megyn Kelly, I'm just gonna, you know, pick who I want or who I think. She listened to her. I don't think she really knew who he was, and yet she still had him on the show, and it was one of the better episodes. So
yeah,
I think she's really got like a knack for this podcasting thing, and you know, putting out a great product.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So dude, when you look back at the year, and maybe you're looking ahead to next year, any sort of big picture trends or anything you're seeing in podcasting? I mean, you know, is there still going to be these crazy acquisitions? Is Spotify going to keep going nuts? I saw they just signed the couple from the royal family that's sort of breaking away from the royal family. I'm not the Meghan Markle and whatever.
Prince
they
Henry
signed them to an exclusive podcast deal, Spotify. So is there just anything like types of podcasts, trends, or just anything that's catching your eye or you think could be interesting heading into next year at all?
I do like how the Forever Has Fallen, like that interactive, immersive style, and the true crime one that you solve. You know, I like that trend. Some of a negative trend that I've noticed, like I've noticed that some of like the true crime stuff has gotten kind of like watered down a little bit, and some of the doc, you know, everyone's just like putting out a podcast, you know, there's just a cold case from 1982 and they feel compelled to make a podcast about it. And I don't know, like, if it's kind of losing its luster, or, you know, that sort of thing, if that makes sense.
Well, it does. And dude, that's a conversation I feel like you and I have every 3 to 4 months. And I'll just ask you, and you may have already just given your answer, but like, have we reached the bubble of true crime? Is it oversaturated and done with? Not
yeah,
done
I
with,
think,
but is it, you see where I'm going.
Yeah, the last time you asked me this question, I said no. I mean, because true crime was so compelling, but I gotta admit, I'm starting to like be into it as much, and some of the podcasts that come out just don't have the gravitas that some of the other ones did. I don't know if it's, you know, people think, oh, I'm gonna put out a true crime podcast, and, you know, just by default it's gonna be good. It's still, the effort's got to be there, the production's got to be there, the investigative stuff's got to be there.
Yeah, and I think, dude, that potentially just the shock and horror slasher serial killer stuff that might have been overdone a little bit. I'll give a shout out to a show that we reviewed this year, the Muck Podcast. Remember those two awesome women co-hosts that are doing true crime through the lens of local politicians, state reps, local governments, and they cover just these banana land stories of crime and pathology through local politicians. And to me, that's such a smart, unique take on a different lens of true crime. And it's not blood and gore and guts, but it's every bit as compelling and fascinating, because at the end of the day, we're moved by true crime because it's a look at like the dark side of humanity. And it doesn't need to be a serial killer to explore that. And it might even be more fascinating if it's just your neighbor down the street who's a local House of Representatives, but he's embezzling drug money. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that could be as fascinating.
Right, yeah, a city councilman from York, Pennsylvania, who's like, you know, shtupping the preacher's wife, you know, and taking skimming money off of the kitty is just as fascinating as like a high level politician to me. So, and I do think there's an opportunity, Mike, in podcasting. I've noticed this year, especially 2020, more like focused history shows are coming out, like, because it was just like Dan Carlin's hardcore history and you had to wait 6 months for an episode, and like I was so like just hardcore history, I was trying to find every history podcast I could. And there's a couple, there's History on Fire, there's the History of Rome, which is a great podcast, really detailed, but I know like there was one about the Apollo 13 landing. There was one about the collapse of this, you know, the Soviet Union, rise and fall. The one that was just focused on the Cuban Missile Crisis. So I'm starting to see more of those like really focused history podcasts come out. And I think there's maybe in 2021, almost like the true crime version, we'll see many more of those.
Yeah, and God knows there's just countless tales that could be re-looked at and redone through history. No doubt about it, man. And I wonder just from the business side how things will keep progressing, you know, is, you know, like a few major players like the iHeart, Spotify, and like SiriusXM, is that good and great for the business, or are indie folks going to be like, I also still think... is there a discovery issue? Meaning, is there a means for people to discover podcasts? There's millions of podcasts, and is it just hard for people to figure out what really would get them stoked and to check out? And how do you go about discovering podcasts? You know, these are all questions. I'll just be interested to see how they keep unfolding over time. But my God, there's no shortage of talented people and excellent shows being put out. We know that even through a pandemic, it's just been a heck of a year. And you can't only but be excited and hopeful for next year.
There's no question. And I think there's a phenomenon going on. Like, people just aren't consuming, you know, 3, 6, and 10, ABC, CBS, and NBC anymore. And, you know, people aren't watching ESPN anymore. And I think people are getting away from, like, the cable stuff. And they're finding, like, kind of their niche of entertainment. Like, just like subscription models, and especially for news as well, people are going to way different platforms to get their news anymore. So who knows? I still think this whole podcasting thing is finding its sweet spot. It's still kind of testing the waters. But I would expect in 2021, we see kind of more like these network conglomerate types of businesses kind of refocus. You're gonna get your news from maybe a certain platform, and you know, your entertainment, and I expect to see in 21 kind of more of these corporate business models start shaking out as well.
Well, dude, it's been a heck of a year, Tim. Being able to do the show with you has made some of the stress and craziness of this year a little more bearable. Like, anytime we jump on here, it's just like you forget about the world and we just have fun and we get to chat. And like, I'd be remiss if not saying, in our little corner of the world, we got like a little bit of traction and some people listening and checking us out and even some reviews here and there. So guys, if anyone out there has even consumed 1 minute, I just want to say we are so grateful for that. You and I have had no expectations of listenership. We just want to have fun and share our passion and podcast with anyone that might be interested. But the fact that people like are checking us out, it's just the coolest thing ever. And man, we don't take that for granted one bit.
Not at all, man.
Yeah, awesome, dude. So, dude, great year, great show right here. That was fun. Congrats to all the shows we talked about. And, dude, already looking forward to 2021 and the next one, bro.
Yeah, it's a great year, man. Appreciate everything, dude. So, yeah, looking forward to next year, man.
Till then, buddy. Later,
bro. All right. Later.
We are a Dude and a Bro podcast show. We are entrenched in podcasts. We want to do for the world of podcasting what Siskel and Ebert did for movies back in the day. So we love doing reviews of our favorite podcasts. We love suggesting new shows to all the fine folks out there in the world. And then Tim and I love debating topics from the latest and greatest episodes of our favorite podcast shows. Hey guys, you would do us a huge favor if you could head over to podchaser.com. Podchaser is your one-stop shop for all things related to podcasts and your favorite podcast shows. Search a Dude and a Bro podcast show and then leave us a review. If you could take a moment to drop a few lines about what it is you enjoy about a Dude and a Bro podcast show over on the Podchaser site, we'd be eternally grateful for your support. Thanks so much, guys.